Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
Second Corinthians 9:8, Hebrews 4:16, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's what we declared in 2012, and I left that right there for that purpose. Then it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Father, we thank you again that all grace abounds. You will withhold no good thing. And we're asking this morning, and this revelation is coming afresh to us, that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. And we agree together in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. Grace. All that we need at all times. How many know that all means all? All means all, and he is able. What we've been looking at over this year, 2016, the Lord said at the beginning, it's the year of grace and mercy in that particular order. And we've been dealing with the areas, the bottom line, like never before. All you got to do is look at the news. Like never before, God needs us. And I'm going to be sharing some things with you this morning. And I've been praying for you and fasting all week so that you get it. Turn to somebody and say, he is fasting for us, so you better get it. When there is the darkest time, that's when the Holy Spirit brings the brightest light. We have been being prepared. We're being prepared for the church that is going to rise up in this sense of revival. And I've said over and over again, the revival that's coming to the church, and we've seen all many manifestations from the Jesus movement to the charismatic movement to all, this is going to be a revival for, what did I say? Evangelism. Evangelism. Right now, I watched, can't remember his first name, Billy Graham's son. What he is doing, what's his name, somebody? Franklin, that's right. Just checking. He's going around to the capitals, major cities, and going on the steps of the Capitol building, and he's crawling out, he's fasting and praying, going around this nation, all 50 states, crying out for the church to raise up and take their rightful position. And if we do, then we can see this nation turned around. And I don't want to go on the litany of all the things, it seems like bad news, but I've told you this, that we know, God knows the end from the beginning, right? He already knows. So we have hope with that process, that this is not catching him by surprise. And it's not over till God says it's over. So you're still here. I'm still here. We got things to do, right? There's more to do. In this process of revival, as I said, the darkest day, the light's going to shine the brightest. We've looked at essentials for your ministry. Along with that, we've been looking at how to release the anointing through your ministry. I said that, and this is one of the most important things that we have learned during this time, and for those that are listening online, that we have, number one, Scripture says we have a calling, we have a ministry, and we have a destiny. God created you with something in mind. It's not just spinning you out of things, go do your own thing until finally, if you accept me, then we'll go to heaven together. That's a deist. Deist says God's up there, he is God, but he doesn't interfere with our choices. How many know he's there every step of the way? And he says, I've created you with a destiny, and that destiny will make you the happiest. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't, we haven't heard, neither can the mind imagine those things that God has for us. I was talking in a counseling session last week, and I love it when a person is entering into a relationship with the Lord. And I make a statement that we have learned, all of you have learned for the most part, long as you've been with me, you have, that God is smarter than we are, right? That's a wonderful revelation, and it's true. But all of a sudden, you know, we're talking about warring back and forth about, well, what happens if God wants me to do something I don't want to do? And that's a normal question. I says, you get a choice. And he said, will he make me do it? I said, no, he won't. And then again, we say, like we said before, if you argue with God, what? You'll win. You'll win. So I said to him, would you agree with me that God is smarter than you are? And he went, yeah. I said, a whole bunch more smarter than you are? He said, yeah. I said, then why would you argue with his choice for you? And he thought about it for a little bit, and he didn't have an answer. I says, if God loves you, he cares for you, he sent his son to die for you, why would you for a moment argue with him when he says, this is the way, walk ye in it? And I think I got him. He said, it's not really anything that we need to. I make the decision that God is smarter. And I said, the quicker you learn that, the easier it is in life. You're not arguing with God. You're not spending time, downtime, trying to figure out what God is doing and why he wants us to do. We trust him, right? So we have a calling, a ministry, and a destiny. God's dream for your life. And they're all intertwined. You can't have a ministry without the calling. You can't have your destiny without dealing in the ministry that God's created you to do. That's why we're here. You are here for one purpose, not to make your widgets, not to have the nicest yard on the block, not to have as many grandkids as you can, even though that's part of it. Your purpose, Mr. Phelps, should you decide to accept this, is that you are to establish the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's what life is all about. And the wonderful thing about that is that in the process of our daily lives, God has a way of fashioning that ministry through our daily lives. And what also is exciting about it, God has to back us up. Right? And that's why he says, you can throw this for, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I get up on Monday morning and say, can't wait till Friday. Oh, my, it's hump day. You know what hump day is? Wednesday. Finally made it half, I'm half finished with the week. What a life. Me too. What a life. To be able to just try to exist till Friday. TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Well, what happened to TGIM? Right? Thank God it's Monday. I get to go and do what God's called me to do. And I can watch him in the process not only reveal himself to me in greater ways, I get to be an example so that they see Jesus. Amen. Now you tell me, what's better than that? I don't want to hear any more TGIFs unless you take TGITs or TGIY, TGI, whatever it is. Thank the Lord that it's coming September. TGIS. All right? So that is very, very, he's getting bolder. We looked at how to release the anointing and minister to others. We also said we looked at how to stop robbery in your life, personal protection, and also how to stop robbery in other people's life. We have been given authority, and we say, when we confront hell, what's our expression? Hell no, and heaven yes. That's right. how to make spiritual, how to move in spiritual warfare for others. Last week, I said we're starting a new focus on preparing the church to release the dynamic of the Holy Spirit in this upcoming revival, this upcoming season that we're dealing with. As I said, 2016 is a year of grace and mercy. Today, I want to continue on our focus, the power of grace. We studied, I guess it was 2012, that revelation that says we have that revelation of God's grace to us, that it's no longer having to work through to get God's attention. But then the Lord brought another revelation this at the beginning of this year, beginning of summer, and he says, I want you to teach on the understanding of grace with the purpose for ministry. My grace, and I'm going to explain that to you, the power of grace for ministry. Last week, and I'm going to say this again, that you will never be able to function in full capacity in your relationship with the Lord, your ministry for the Lord, ministry to other people, or coming against the powers of the enemy unless you understand the dynamic of grace. I had taught, like I said last week, I had taught on grace for 25 years, 30 years. But when that revelation comes, and you recognize that we'll say in just a moment, some things that we'll say in just a moment, the understanding of God's grace enables the Holy Spirit to be released in full potential. When the Lord brought this revelation, it changed my ministry. I want to lay some over the foundations this week, and then I want to tell you a story. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God will allow all grace, for it is by grace that you have been saved. Let us approach the throne of grace. We come to communion and we use that. The throne of grace. That we will receive everything that we need. That's, I don't know about you, but coming to the throne of grace is not just coming to the throne of grace for yourself. We approach the throne of grace for my family, for our church, for everything that God put on our heart to pray for. And he says, let us boldly come before the throne of grace. That connection is so very much a part of what we've been called to be. Like I said last week, and this is how we defined it, it was God's unmerited favor for 25 years, favor that God gives to me that I don't deserve. And it sounds so nice, doesn't it? But it means more than that. It literally means living in grace. And as I said last week, living in grace means the awareness of the Lord, that the Lord is with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us, or that we have access to God. Every time we say, Lord, you know what he says? Yes. And every time someone swears, he goes, yes. And the GDs and all that kind of stuff. And then he recognizes, here's someone. And by the way, God doesn't get mad. It breaks his heart. That we are using his name in vain. If you understand the spiritual side, why don't we use Buddha's name in vain? Satan's in vain. Oh, Jesus, I just banged my finger. How wonderful. Why would we put those two together? Because it's mocking. We have access to God, the forgiveness of sin and freedom from condemnation. God does not, he chooses not to remember how you messed up last week. You continue, if you don't understand the principle, we continue to play that back and forth. So therefore, the result is we don't come boldly before the throne of grace because we feel that God's angry at us or we're angry at ourselves. And again, the whole purpose is not doing right because we're going to get reprimanded. It's doing right, following God's roles and his directives because we love him. serving someone out of love is a whole lot of than serving someone out of fear of retribution or fear at all. No longer bound by works to earn his approval, no longer neutralized by our failures. Defeat, living in grace literally means defeating the tactics of the enemy and then release the power of the Lord through us. Living in God's grace. We are to live in God's grace. It's unmerited favor. It's to be a lifestyle. You get up in the morning and say, Lord, I know that you have covered me with your grace today. I know that everywhere I go, Lord, I'm going to rub grace all over everything I come in contact with. Anybody that touches me or I speak to, they're going to get grace on them. I'm going to prove it to you. It has been released for your ministry. Faith is not believing that God can. Faith is believing that God will. And it has been released. It's important. Understanding grace is a key to receiving the Lord's provision and living the overcoming life. Understanding grace will enable you to see who you are and live victorious in your ministry and destiny. The purpose of receiving, now I'm going to get into it. The purpose of receiving God's grace is releasing God's grace. We are not to be, I'll use the example. I used to love to preach a message from the maps in the back of the book. Everybody's got maps. You see most Bibles have. You see Israel and the Northern Kingdom, the Southern Kingdom, and all the different ways, different missions that Paul went on. And then it shows the Sea of Galilee, and then all the way down at the end of Israel, it shows the Dead Sea. And there's a difference in those two seas. And for those who have not heard, listen. Go back and get your Bible or whatever it is and look at there's a difference between the two seas. We are to be the Sea of Galilee. The Dead Sea is dead. There's no living anything in it. I've been to it. You can sit and it's so minerally full that you can literally lay on the top of the water. No living thing. You know why? It's dead. There's no outlet. There's no outlet. When we become a great reservoir, what happens is we become stagnant. You've got grace, the provision of the Lord, so that you can release that grace. Give and you shall receive. And what most people do is they keep their hands tight, and God can't, you can't release something when you got your hands closed. We are to be reservoirs. Holy Spirit comes in, and then we release them. The Sea of Galilee, it's filled with fish, it's beautiful. It's the sea where Jesus did his ministry, walked on the water. All the wonderful things. But the wonderful thing is, it receives from Mount Hermon the snows, fresh water, and then it flows downhill to the Dead Sea where it stops. We are to become agents through which God's grace is released. And I said Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you will receive power, grace, provision. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, the releasers of grace in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's San Jose, Bay Area. The purpose of receiving is to release, to see the kingdom of God established. The Lord's gift to all of us. Second, and I'm not going to read this again, we'll have them up online. He was filled with the wisdom and the grace of God. From the fullness of his grace, we have received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I said last week, how is grace expressed? You can't sit back and say, one, two, three, let's grace, all right? It's like faith. Let's just grace, okay? Grace is an action. When it says that Jesus was filled with grace, what did he do? He released that grace and he healed people. He restored them. He did what was necessary to bring the revelation of God's love to people. That's what we are to do. Acts chapter 14, verse 3 says, and they spoke boldly for the Lord, and he confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. This is the definition of grace. I'm going to read it. You can fill in the blank. The unmerited, undeserved, unearned gift of God's favor and blessing received through the completed sacrifice of Jesus Christ on earth. The unmerited, undeserved, unearned gift of God. How many know that un is that mean you can't do anything? It's not for you to go do something to get God's grace. From my background, we had to do things. A lot of backgrounds are that way. We came from, felt like I had to earn God's grace. And when I was not doing right, then what am I doing? And I was very serious about my background. I was a daily communicant. For those who are Catholics, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, I went to Mass every day, every morning, and received communion. But I still didn't feel that relationship that I had that was basically, I knew it was undeserved, but somehow or another I couldn't get into the unmerited part. It's got to be more than that. I got to be able to do something in order to get God's blessing. I mean, you have to do that in everything else in life, don't you? And it was tough. And that revelation came. But then, this is what the Lord said. Grace, new covenant, and then through the believer to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ on earth. That's what it's all about. God's grace to us. We are to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ on earth. 2 Corinthians 9:8, he made all grace abound for all good works. The outworking of receiving God's grace is releasing God's grace. How do you know if a person is grace-filled? They're releasing grace. They're encouraging. They respond correctly. They respond the way the Lord wants. We forgive people. We stand by the rejected. We don't argue. We're not like the rest of the people. We're weird, the Bible says. How many know? I would rather be weird and happy than unweird and miserable so-and-so. And you look at people around, for the most part, I don't see a whole lot of happy campers, except in Carmel. People they're not happy. And very rarely, I mean, you probably have some friends that you know and stuff like that. There are exceptions from the rule. But most people, they're just trying to make it through life. No eye contact.
No.
What do you want from me? What are you being nice for? They might not say it, but somehow or another, there's got to be something twisted in here. You can't even say to a woman, you look attractive, you look beautiful today. Why will I get sued? What you trying to do? You hit on me? No. So now we walk around going, I don't want to say anything politically incorrect. And it's like taking a bottle, shaking it up, putting a top on it. Because Jesus, if you're a Christian, is trying to get out. And I'm careful, but if I want to say something that I think's a little on the edge, forgive me, will you? But I just wanted to say you look very nice today. Okay. And you know, after a while, yeah, you look nice. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. You know, it's amazing. We teach our kids please and thank you. It's awesome how if you just said thank you for the you look weird, sound weird sometimes, but thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for checking my food out. For cashiering. Thank you. They're gonna look at you funny for a while, but it makes you feel good when you walk away. That's grace. We are different than the world system. Let's look at releasing God's grace. Releasing God's grace. God created the word by speaking. Speaking is very important. He created the world by speaking. In Genesis 13, God said, "Let there be light." He didn't think about it. Didn't have it just in his mind. He spoke it out. God told Moses to speak to the rock for water to come out. Right? He said, they're out there in the wilderness. They got 2 million Jews fighting and miserable and stuff and all kinds of stuff. And he brings them out into the desert and there's no water. I mean, you go into the wilderness in Israel, the Mojave Desert looks like an oasis. I mean, that's a terrible place there. So there's 2 million people. They've been traveling for 2 days, 3 days. They are thirsty. And they're about ready to hang Moses or stone him. And Moses goes back to God and says, "What do you want me to do with these people?" He said, "Give them water." He said, it was like one of those, hold the staff up, standing by the Red Sea. I think I would have loved to have been there. You know, he's out there. Pharaoh is coming behind him in his chariots, and he's at the end. He's at the Red Sea, and there's sea out there. And Moses says, "What am I going to do?" He says, "Take your staff and hold it up." You know, I would have said, "Then what? They're getting closer. Hold your staff." Doesn't that God sometimes ask us strange things to do? Hold your staff up. What's plan two, God? Have you ever said, "What's plan two?" I have. Doesn't sound right to me, God. Moses. And you know what happened? The sea parted. That's got to be, I know Moses was going, "You got to be kidding me." And you know, he probably said, "I'll never doubt you again, God, like you have." But he's out there in this wilderness thing and there's no water. He says, "Give him water." What am I supposed to do, God? He says, "See that rock over there? Speak to it." What do you say to a rock? Give? I don't know. Speak to it. Let the water come out. And I'm sure he went, and the next thing, there was a flood. All the cattle, all the animals, all the water that was absolutely necessary. He said, "Speak to it." Can go on. Joshua spoke to the sun. They were in the process of fighting a battle. And they were running out of light. And if they run out of light, you can't fight the enemy in the dark. You can't wipe them out. So he said to Joshua, "Command the sun to stand still." You know, we look at these people like they're incredible men of God. These people were just like you and me. What do you want? Command the sun to stop? Yes, that's what I said, son. Stop, son. You know, they go back to astrology charts. There actually was a time when the sun stopped. And they can, through computer records, it actually did stop. And it's on record. How about that? Stop, son. Wow. Elijah spoke and commanded fire from heaven. You remember that. Jesus spoke to the demon sickness and to the storm. I'd like to have been on that boat. Jesus, we're going to drown. No, we're not. I said, we're going to get in the boat. We're going to the other side. And I'm going to go to sleep because I'm tired. I've been ministering all day long. I'm going to. And of course, these wonderful men of faith, the storm comes. Jesus, we're going to drown. I mean, you know, when you're in the boat where Jesus is, you're safe, right? I want to make sure that I'm in the boat where Jesus is. That every day I go where Jesus, you don't want to get victory in your life? Just follow Jesus. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? Just follow him. Where he goes, miracles happen. Awesome things happen. In his presence is what? Fullness of joy. Just follow him. Shall we close? Sure makes it like childlike faith, right? Where are you going today, Jesus? And then Jesus commanded the disciples to speak to the mountain. He said to you, speak to the mountain. Mountains are obstacles. The Lord releases his grace to us, and we are to release his grace to others. We become agents through which God's grace is released. And I can go through the scriptures. We become agents of grace. When grace is released, grace releases. How do you like that? When grace is released, grace releases. You want to pray for people, you want to see people set free, release grace to them. Can I pray for you? That's releasing grace. Pat them on the back or, you know, just be careful, but, you know, a nice little hug or whatever that might be. It's amazing. It's amazing how just by putting your hand on someone, it brings peace to them. You ever had that happen? All right, be careful. Again, we had one of our sons that all Pat had to do was put her hand on him, and he'd just go, You know that touch is important? Anyway, a key releasing grace is proclaiming grace. Speaking grace releases grace. Speaking grace. You know, just touching is also good. I'm not a touchy-feely person. I had to learn, and I'm still not. But I do it because Pat likes. You know that a woman, the wife, needs 21 touches, non-sexual touches per day? You know that? They need that, men. And a lot of people, they may say no, but that's what they found. And I've had men come back and go, 21, I'm done. You know, we'd always find a way out, right? But it's amazing, just that personal kind. That's releasing grace. Now, I've got a story. Speaking grace releases grace. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's in the book of Zechariah, and I've written out some things, but I know it pretty much by heart. It has two key people in it. One is the prophet Zechariah, and another one is a man by the name of, say that, Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel. How would you like, honey, which do we want to name the baby? Let's call him Zerubbabel. I would expect, a little fire plug, you know, just full of muscle and just Zerubbabel. But he was Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the leader of a contingent of about 50,000 Jews that were taken to Babylon. Now, a little bit of short history. They were in Babylon for 70 years. The prophet Jeremiah prophesied that Israel would be in Babylon in captivity for 70 years. Most people don't recognize why 70 years. It was 1 year for the 700 years that they did not have the seventh year fast. Remember in Scripture, 7 years, and the seventh year you would not plant. Well, they decide they wanted to. So they spent 1 year for every, well, the 700 years. God doesn't, he doesn't say, well, no big deal. The land needed to be restored. So there, 590 BC is when the Babylonians defeated, don't get too bogged down with this, but it's fascinating history. The 10 tribes up north were already wiped out. 786. There were two tribes left in the southern kingdom where the temple was. And because, just like the northern kingdoms, they turned away from God, intermarried, and there was a whole kind of leaven in the whole worship of Jehovah, the Babylonians came in, and God had to pull back his protection because they didn't want them. So they take the Jews, a contingent of the Jews, the Babylonians would scatter the people all over. When they conquered a nation, they would spread them all over so they couldn't regroup. And they'd always take the best ones of that particular nation back to Babylon. The city was destroyed completely, and the temple was torn down. The Jews, as I said, were scattered all over creation. And that sizable number were taken to Babylon for those years. According to the prophecy of Jeremiah, as I said, 70 years. The man who led the return, his name was Zerubbabel. Cyrus, the Medes and Persians came in. They defeated the Babylonian, the Babylonians. Nebuchadnezzar was wiped out. Medes and Persians came in, and Cyrus, the king, says, received a word from the Lord. He was not Christian or not Jewish, not religious, pagan. He says, "Let my people go." So he says, "Whoever wants to go, go." And there were millions there, but only 50,000 went. Here they had an opportunity to go back to their own land, and only 50,000. They became so comfortable in Babylon, we don't need to go back there. It's nice here. Just like they almost said in Egypt, we got garlic we can eat. Onions and garlic. Did you bring us out here for us to die in the wilderness? At least we had onions and garlic. Jewish people, God's people. The first goal when they got back there was to build the temple. The first thing was to build the temple. Over the next 13 years, they went through building the temple. 13 years. The process, the problem was, they could probably have built it in 2 years. They didn't plan to take 13 years to build the temple. And what happens in that process? The delay caused everybody to get discouraged, and the project stopped. Zerubbabel became very discouraged. He said, "I was able to bring the people out of the land, and we started the process, but I can't bring it to finish." That's the setting for our story. I want you to listen to something very important. It has to do with the frustrations we face when things, we get excited about doing that. I'm a Christian. I can't wait to go to church every day of the week and then read my Bible when I'm not at church and all these kind of wonderful things. We get excited and wonderful. God's good and everything. And all of a sudden, something happens. And it's not as happy anymore. I had some, over the years, I had people say, you know, "I don't feel God like I used to. I mean, where is he?" I remember I used to have these God bumps all over me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, you're just like, "Oh." I said, let me just tell you, he didn't fall off his throne. And there's a reason why. It's like the honeymoon. Right? It's the honeymoon time. How many know that honeymoons, I can give a hard time. Somebody give me a hard time. This honeymoons don't last. You can still have that kind of thing. But honeymoons are something special. And we want to have that special time all the time with, right? We're on a honeymoon. Now, I'm on a honeymoon. Because I married the best honey. But there were times when it didn't feel like a honeymoon. You all know what I'm talking about. So, all of a sudden, we're in this place where we get discouraged sometimes, don't we? Well, we thought God had given us a promise and all this, and all of a sudden things begin to slow down, and it's just like, oh, man, I'm not as happy a camper as I used to be. Well, there's a reason why God does that. You want to know why? I'm not going to tell you. How many people know what I'm talking about? You just have that high, and it's felt fantastic, and then it's human nature. We all sort of leak, don't we? And all of a sudden, you're not feeling that jazzed anymore. It's not that buzz. Well, the reason why God does that, allows that to happen, first of all, He wants us to not be led by our emotions. How many of you know, when you're on a mountaintop and everything's fantastic, you're down in Carmel and everything's fantastic, you just, oh, I love God with all my heart. This is wonderful and stuff. And I love my wife and I love the rocks and I love the fish and I love everybody. Then I come back to San Jose. And then I can't wait to go down to Carmel again. God says, San Jose. That's not tongues, by the way. If all you are is living on a high, that high will go away. How are you? Where is the ministry? Not on the mountaintop, but in the valley. He sets before me a banquet in what? The presence of my enemies. So in this process, he gets discouraged. Things aren't coming together. Discouragement begins to enter in, and the story is about releasing, the title of the message, releasing the grace of God. So Zechariah is off to the side in his home praying. And he said, this is, as he writes in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 and 10, he said, a word of the Lord came to me, the Lord to Zerubbabel. It was a word, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Yeah, that's a pretty good word. I'm going to have to check it out. He said, what are you, almighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a level ground. Then he will bring out the headstone. That's the final thing that goes on, the capstone, with shouts of grace, grace. Then the word of the Lord came to me and said this, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. This is a story about promise. A promise that was given and yet became filled with despair because there was delay. There was great hope at the beginning, great activity, but because of delay, people became discouraged. People began to give up. What started as an incredible amount of just faith being released, a log jam got into it, and the flow sort of gets stopped up, didn't it? Happened to you many times. Everything was going fine, and all there's a log jam. I want you to imagine the scene. This is what it looks like. The wall was built, but these big boulders, it was just completely just rubble. The temple was an awesome place. But there was nothing, no stone, like Jesus said, no stone would be left on top of another one. The Babylonians came in and they destroyed everything. And this is what Zerubbabel gets up in the morning and comes to. Let me play it out here. Zerubbabel comes to the building site and he sees partially done. And stones and stuff everywhere. He over here was, maybe the wall was built about that high, and then there was nothing over here. And all around, it was just nothing but just rubble. The partial done project seemed to mock Zerubbabel. You ever had something that you felt really good about, and you know the Lord was there, and all of a sudden it begins to dissipate, and you look because maybe you thought you failed God because it's not moving forward anymore? And that's what was happening to this guy. He comes, looks at the praise, partially done, and he was full of discouragement. He said, I'm never going to get it done. He hears someone approaching. He thinks it's a workman. He looks and he sees Zechariah coming. Zechariah asks, how you feeling today? And Zerubbabel says, you know, I have to tell you honestly, I'm not feeling good at all. I'm really discouraged. Five people last week, three people yesterday, and now no one's here. And I'm totally it. No one has come to help. Zechariah says, brother, that's why I'm here. The Lord gave me a word for you. Don't you love that when it happens? Zerubbabel said, okay, I'm ready for anything, I guess. And he said, the Lord told me to tell you, it's not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. What are you, O mighty mountain, obstacles laying all over the place? Who are you? What are you, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone with shouts of grace, grace. Then the word said, also said, the hands of Zerubbabel, he's saying you. This is what he told me to tell you. The hands that have laid the foundation of the temple, his hands will also complete it. And he will know, and they will know that I am Lord, and the Lord has sent me. All of a sudden, he's starting to, sounds good. I mean, you know, there's times when nothing's changed, but everything's different, right? He's really feeling good inside. I heard that. Wow. And the Lord knows, by the way, in 1 Corinthians 10, it says this, 13, I will make sure that nothing is ever too heavy for you in my will. He knows when to bring the right person across to encourage you. He knows when to be able to speak that encouraging word through someone else or to you. Just that word to bring you. He doesn't want you discouraged. He wants you encouraged. So he brings this word. Zechariah says, tell me what you mean. What do you think God's saying to you? And of course, Zechariah said, it's not by power. It's going to be the Lord that does it. It's not by my ability or any of our ability. It's the Lord is going to do that. And Zechariah said, well, how's that going to happen? And he says, by his grace. By his grace. And Zechariah says, he says, by shouting grace. He didn't say by his, he says, by shouting grace. And I'm going to give my own interpretation because I find this to be so much the case. So Zechariah says, okay, let's, What did he say? He's by shouting grace. And he says, well, and I'm sure that Zerubbabel said, you know, I heard it. I heard, yep, I heard. He said, and I'll do that. And he said, I'm so thankful that you came today, brother. That was really encouraging word. And Zachariah, you know, I'm just going to hang around until we see what happens here. And I believe, no, I'll do it. I'll do it. You know, sometimes we intimidate ourselves. I know people that can't pray in a room by themselves. I know many people. They intimidate themselves. Well, you know, what am I? Sounds stupid. Ah. He said, all right, all right. And he goes, grace. And I picture Zachariah going, you know, I don't think you got the whole picture here. You know, I really feel that we need to do what God said. And he says, grace. Grace. He says, you're warm into it. But he says, grace, grace. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Zerubbabel. And that anointing of his grace comes, and he stands before that bunch of rocks, and he goes, grace, grace. And there was a sense of God's presence that was released by this proclamation of what God told him to do, speaking grace into that situation. And by the way, the temple got built. The temple got built. Speaking that grace. Understanding with shouts. Now, you don't have to always shout it, but I'll tell you something. Speaking grace into your situation is an important part of seeing your prayers answered for you and your ministry. Do you know, I want, and if Bryson was here, the grandkids were here, they tell you, you get in my car on my way to church, driving to church, I want our church to be blessed. I want to get out of the way so the message comes out. So I pray for every church that I know of in this valley. And I have Bryson or whatever say, he'll say, I'll say, I know the names of, can't do it now. What's the one up in the hill here? Bah. Huh? Right here, Venture. I say, Lord, bless Venture Church, and then both of us go, grace, grace, grace to Venture Church, and then grace, grace, grace to Westgate, grace, grace, grace to Calvary Chapel, and grace, grace to everyone that I can think of. I even bless the Mormon churches, and I bless the mosque, and I bless the Jehovah Witnesses. I bless them all. Bryson says, what are we praying for the mosques for? I said, somebody needs to pray for them. He said, grace, grace, grace. The releasing of that grace. Speaking grace into your situation releases the favor of God. And I want you to understand that you have the ability, and we're going to close with this. I'll put that song on, Sean. You have the ability to speak life or to speak death. And it's become so much a human nature to talk about the negative sides of life. You see how terrible this economy is? My gracious, look at the this and look at the that and look at all this and all. Just what we end up doing is living in a bubble of negativeness. And I've said to you over and over again, God only works on a positive. You have to give him something that he can work with on earth as it is in heaven. And I want to be. Sometimes it's tough. And the enemy comes back and says, you hypocrite, you know that that's not the truth. And I said, you know what I say? And you can do this too. I'm looking at it through God's eyes. And I speak grace, grace to this nation. I speak grace, grace to the schools. I speak grace, grace to the government. I speak grace, grace. Lord, release your grace. Grace, grace. I do it three times. Grace, 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 just to make sure. Now I'm going to close with this. I love the song. Because it has the hope for our future. And who you are. I want you to bow with me as we close. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that stirs within our heart the hope that lies within us. That every word that was said this morning, God, from your word is truth. And it will not return void. We are reservoirs of grace. And Lord, you've called us to set the captive free, to speak sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, the ability for the lame to walk. And we know those are just not physical maladies. They're also spiritual maladies. For all those that are listening online, for those that are here, Father, I pray that by your Spirit, that would be quickened within us, and that they will see the God that you are, and that you will do exceedingly abundantly above what they ask or think. That's our heart's cry. Now take a moment and just speak to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now everybody look up. You look better than when you first came in here. Turn to somebody and say, you look better than you first came in. That's speaking faith sometimes. I want to end on this song, and I want you to get this inside of you, okay? I want you to stand. Let's give the Lord a praise offering as we close this morning. Give him a praise offering. Amen. Amen.
I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commanded dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same
Amen. And don't you forget it. This whole week, you are filled with that grace of the Lord, and nothing on this earth can stand against you. Amen? Take your neighbor's hand. Father, I pray for my brother and my sister on my right and left. I declare that they are filled with your grace. I declare that they walk in victory this week, Lord. That the powers of the enemy that would try to bring sickness, robbery of any form, is bound in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that we receive the blessing that enables us to establish the kingdom of God everywhere we go. And we claim that together. Let your neighbor's hand go. Lift your hands before the Lord. Lord, I thank you that we stand ready to be ladled out to those that we come in contact with. And we thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for our every need, and that we walk in victory. We declare your goodness, your faithfulness, your love. And we declare, Father, that we will see your grace dispensed through us. Now receive the benediction. May the favor, the grace of the Lord be with you. May the favor of the Lord be with you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. And we receive it in Jesus' name. And all God's grace-filled people said amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Turn around and give somebody a hug. Have a fantastic week in Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.